This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Gateway Fellowship this morning. You are where you're at, wherever that is. We're the few of us in here. We are just a few. I think there's 10, and we're just abiding by all the stay at home, stay safe. And we pray that in your home this morning, whether you're in bed, having a cup of coffee, or you're sitting on the couch with your family, wherever it is, or you're in the backyard watching on your laptop, whatever it may be. The sun is out a little bit this morning. It was supposed to be raining, so that's a good thing. But we're going to worship today, and this first song says, "Shout Hosanna." We want to worship. We ask you to, or invite you to join with us wherever you're at. If you want to sing, you want to dance, wherever you're at, take some pictures and submit them to info@gatewayfellowship.com. We'd love to see what's going on. Someone snuck in this morning. You can't see it, but someone snuck in and put pictures of families all over the chairs this morning, so it feels like someone's here. And so that was a fun surprise for us this morning. But let's worship him this morning. Shout Hosanna. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, and...
Hosanna, Jesus, he saved.
You know, in this time of seeming chaos, if families are home all the time together, there can be strife, there can be challenges. There are people who are out of work. There are small business owners wondering if they can get back to work. There are people all around with a lot of uncertainty. We just prayed this morning for a family member of one of our team members who is in the last stages of life. His spouse, his wife is struggling, rightly so. Sometimes it is difficult to say what's in this next song. It is well with my soul. So much uncertainty. It's easy to rely on our own strength. It's easy to try to figure out things ourselves. But oftentimes we have to look at Scripture and see that Jesus is Lord. We have to see that He's God. We have to see that He's still on the throne to be able to say it as well. If you know the story of this song, it was written by a man who lost most of his family. Actually, he thought he lost all of his family on a transatlantic trip. He got to the place where the ship went down. He wrote this song and then proceeded on to Europe and to find out that his wife had actually survived. But he was able to say it as well because Jesus gave him the strength. Maybe this morning you need strength. Maybe this morning you need peace. Maybe this morning you just need to take a breath and say, Jesus, I give it to you. As we sing this song this morning, let the words penetrate. Let the truth of this song penetrate into your heart. And maybe by the end of this song, by the end of this service, you can say, God, I trust you, it is well. If you're in a place where you're saying it is not well, I ask you this morning, we ask you to just submit whatever it is to Christ. Maybe a relationship, maybe a work, a financial, whatever it is. Say, Jesus, I can't handle this on my own. I give it to you. When there is no peace, let Him provide it. Praise you, Lord. Win peace.
Yeah. Sing that this morning, can't we? Because it's so true. It's rooted in Scripture. It's well with my soul. We're in this series called The Prayers of Life out of the book of Psalms. Many are involved in a Bible reading program that's taking us through the Psalms. And I was reading this morning Psalms 94, and I just read this. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? And the psalmist is just bringing us to that realization that he is our creator. He created you and he created me. And he gave us every part, our ears, our mouth, our sight, everything. And he who created us, does he not hear us when we cry out to him? Does he not see us when we look up to him? The answer is yes. And then just a few verses down, the psalmist says this, when I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. And I just found myself pausing at that point this morning. When the cares of my heart are many, it's your consolations, guys, who you are. It's the things that you speak to us through your word and in our worship, like we just sang, those things, the truth of who you are, cheer me up because I know I'm not doing this life alone. I want to pray this morning, and I'm going to invite you right where you are. You may be a family of one. You may be a family that you have a small gathering this morning. I'm going to invite us, if we can, to just kind of open up our hands like this and just offer our cares up to him. And reaffirm again in our own heart, God, you're the one who created me, and you do hear and you do see me. And so I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to give those things, those worries, those concerns to you this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to pray over your home. Wherever you are, I'm going to pray that there would be a peace that would just settle deep in your life and in your home. Wherever you are, people from around the country, around the world are listening in this morning. I'm so thankful that God knows no boundaries. I mean, distance matters not. And so when we pray and we join together, I pray for a peace and blessing over your home. Would you just receive that this morning? Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, I'm so thankful this morning for the truth of your word in songs of worship that are rooted in your word and who you are today. It is well with our souls because it is well with you. You watch over us and you protect us and you lead us and you guide us and you hear us when we cry out to you. And even in those times when humanly it just doesn't feel that way. It feels like our prayers and our shouts are not going maybe above the ceilings or the roof. God, you hear us. You are creator. And God, we are so thankful for that this morning. And so we just give our cares to you, and they are many. We join with the psalmist in saying that. They represent cares for our own family, our own selves, provision, not knowing what tomorrow may hold. They represent cares for people that we love. But God, we present those to you this morning. And I would pray that the realization of who you are, that you hold all things, that you are in all and you are over all, will just bring a sense of peace and cheer to our hearts. God, I pray a blessing over each and every home this morning. I would pray for your peace. I pray a hedge of protection around each individual, each home this morning. May your peace, may the joy of your spirit just settle deep, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Ah. our Father, Creator. You hold our hearts together. There is no one higher than you.
We trust you, Lord. Redeemer.
Redeemer, defender, our great and mighty Savior. There is no one higher than you. You are always with us, gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free. Lord, we stand amazed in your my life forever. There is no one higher than you. There is no one higher than you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Boy, and that is so true, isn't it? So, Father, we just declare that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were driving by the campus at any time this past week, you'll notice around this campus here in Paulsbo, shelter signs. That's because our day shelter is in full operation 7 days a week from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. People are coming by. Our team is preparing meals both for lunch and then take home for dinner. And last week, I think it was over just right at 350 meals that were given out. Showers, because we have shower facilities are being provided for. Soon coming laundry facilities. So I'm so grateful and so thankful for our partnership with the city of Paulsbo, Paulsbo leaders, Gateway people, Gateway volunteers, the team here. So you are making a difference here, and I so thank you for that. And so I just encourage you, if you're going to go out for a ride sometime, you're like, you just need to get away, just come and just drive around the campus, you know, just kind of drive through and just check out and see what Jesus is doing. So I think that your heart will be really, really encouraged. Thank you for your continued faithfulness in giving, and you're using Push Pay. You're going to the app. Some of you are mailing your tithe and offerings in. That's so appreciated. If you want to come on board or you're not sure how to use Push Pay, if you will just text the word give to 360-209-8040, you'll receive back all the information you need. So again, the number is 360-209-8040. Keyword is give, and then you'll get all the info back. We want you to stay connected as well. So many, many groups are meeting online. And so if you'd like to be connected, encourage you to text that same number, 360-209-8040, and just text the keyword group. And then our team will get back to you and help you get connected. So give or group. Thank you for doing that so much. Now we have something else coming up here on May the 17th. It's Armed Forces Day, and we want to honor those of you who are part of Gateway, whether you live here or you're a part of our online campus and you're in another state. We have numbers of you there. We want to honor our active military that day. And so we're going to have a parade. We are. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. You're part of the active military, text to that same number, 360-209-8040. Text the word parade. Now, what we're going to ask you to do is to return a photo of you in your uniform. And so we're going to put together a parade. So it's going to be really, really cool. So get that uniform out, put it on, take your photo. We're going to do a parade. Text it to 360-209-8040. Thanks for doing that. We want to just say a huge thank you and honor you. And I always am reminded, it's just not the one leaving or serving, it's the entire family. So you want to take a photo with your entire family? We honor you. Thanks for doing that. Well, in this series called Prayers of Life, out of the Book of Psalms, I'm so encouraged because so many of you are in a reading plan. We're joining together as we're walking through the Book of Psalms. Sarah Boyd is one of our teaching pastors, so Sarah is coming to join us now. And I believe it's Psalm 13. So get your Bible out, fill up your coffee cup, and let's welcome Sarah this morning.
Well, good morning, Gateway family. It is always a delight to look at God's word with you. And so even though we are in a season where that looks very differently than usual, I am excited to look at Psalm chapter 13 with you this morning. And to make this video, I actually drove into our empty school building. This is one area of the classroom where I normally teach. And I did that because it just seems so fitting in this season and what we're going to talk about in Psalm 13 of this question of, Lord, how long? How long is this homeschool situation going to go on? Lord, how long is this distance in our church services going to be? Lord, how long is this pandemic going to last? And that is the question that David is going to ask over and over again in the psalm that we read. Lord, how long? And so it's a question that I think all of us can relate to in this particular season. But even beyond just the pandemic, there are things in our lives, there are prayers in our lives that we bring before God. And it's so easy when we don't see those answers or we don't sense God moving to just say to him, Lord, how long? And so whether you found yourself kind of in that situation personally and individually, and you can relate this morning, or whether it is just this collective how long that seems to be a very real question that so many of us are asking in this season, I know that God's word is going to speak to us this morning and encourage us and challenge us, because that is what his word always does. And so will you turn to chapter 13 of the book of Psalms as we look at this cry that David is going to bring before the Lord. And Psalm 13 says this, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look to me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity, even at a distance, to look at your word, to examine what it says, and to hear your word to us. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear and receive from you whatever you would speak to us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to take a few minutes to work our way through the psalm, to unpack it, to see what it's saying, to understand the context. And then I want to wrap that up with just some application points of how we can apply what we've learned in our own lives. And so really, the psalm itself is broken down into sort of these three groupings, right? Two verses each. And it's really an opening cry of anguish, almost. David, in these first few verses, is going to say four times, how long? Lord, how long? In other words, David is bringing his raw emotion before God. God, have you forgotten me? God, are you hiding your face from me? Lord, how long do I have to wrestle with my thoughts? I don't know about you, but I am a classic overthinker. I can think something to death, revive it, and think it to death all over again from a completely different perspective. So that line of, Lord, how long do I have to wrestle with these thoughts and these questions? I relate to that so, so deeply. Lord, how long, he says, do I have to have this sorrow in my heart day after day? And so if we just pause there, you know, there's no specific event in David's life that's attached to this psalm particularly. But here we have someone who has expressed faith in God, who is going to be called a man after God's own heart, who is someone who genuinely loves God. And yet here he's in a place of, God, where are you? How long, Lord? And I am encouraged by that this morning. I am encouraged that as believers in Christ, we can still come to him with these anguished, anxiety, emotional pleas of, God, where are you? And how long is this going to last? I love the way the classic commentator Matthew Henry describes this psalm. He says, it is the psalm of the deserted soul's case and cure. The deserted soul's case and cure. And in this opening line, we get we get the case that's being made. David says, here is what it feels like. God, you're ignoring me. You're hiding from me. I don't understand. Where are you? And it is this honest, just outpouring of David's heart before his God. He then moves in verse 3 and 4 to a place of this petitioning request. Lord, please hear me. Look on me and answer me, God. God, see me. See me and hear me and answer me. It's no longer just here's how I feel, but Lord, please do something about how I feel. Lord, please respond to me. And also in this petition, in verse 4, we have this understanding of really in 3 and 4, this understanding and recognition on David's part that if God does not move, he is in a hopeless state. In other words, it is only God who can breathe hope and life into this situation. He basically recognizes, Lord, if you don't bring light to my eyes, then the alternative is darkness and death. Lord, if you don't save me, then I will be overcome. In other words, life is only found in you, my God. You are my only hope. And in a time where we have seen so many of the things that we are tempted to place our security in begin to be removed or be changed, or that security no longer seems to offer the security and safety that it did, we, I think, are in a place where we understand this on such a more deep level than we might normally. That God, my only hope, my only security, the only constant in my life that will not fail me is you. You are it alone, my God. And so we see this recognition, even in the midst of the emotion, even in the midst of here's how I feel, David is bringing this to God in a prayerful, petitioning way that also recognizes who God is. Which is why we're going to get to verse 5 and 6, and it's going to sound very different. We see the transition sort of coming, but then in verse 5, he says, But I trust in your unfailing love. Three very simple words, but maybe the most important words of the entire psalm, and certainly the most difficult to mean and to do. Lord, I trust in you. And I don't know about you, but when I read this psalm in one setting all the way through, I get the how long, I get the emotion, I get the prayer, I even get the recognition. But then it gets to these last couple of verses and it almost feels like whiplash. It almost feels like the Sunday school answer, but Jesus, right? And yet I think we need to really look at the flow of the psalm, because for David, this is the most natural response to what he's feeling for the believer. Hard, but also the most significant. And so here's what he's saying all through the psalm. Here's how I feel. Here's what's going on. But also, here is what I know. Here is what I know. I know that your love is unfailing. I know that my salvation is in you. I know that you have been good to me, that you are good, and thus I will sing and celebrate your goodness. See, here is David distinguishing between all that he feels and coming back to what he knows. And that is going to be so important for us as we apply this psalm to our own life, that it is not that we are not supposed to feel honestly how we feel, that we do not hide our emotion from God or just pretend that everything is fine with us. We bring it to God, but we bring it to God with a recognition of who he is. And that causes us to discern between this area of here's how I'm feeling, here's what the circumstances would cause me to say and think, and yet here is what I know is true about my God. He is faithful, he is loving, he is kind, he is good. And so, in spite of all I feel, I will trust and I will praise my God. And I don't know about you, but that stirs up a challenge and an encouragement in my spirit. And so as we've walked through this Psalm 13, we've seen kind of the full spectrum of David's honesty before the Lord. Let's take a few moments to apply what we can learn about this psalm to our lives. And we're going to see that we're going to learn three categories of things. We're going to see and learn about God, what is true. We're going to see about life, what is true. And we are going to see about then living in this life and kind of this idea of responding to life, all from these simple six verses. So first, what we see about God is that his love is steadfast. David comes back to a place of reminding himself and thus reminding us that God is good. And that is so important for us to be reminded of, that circumstances do not determine God's character. God's character is the same in every situation. I love the way the book of Lamentations says it in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Can we just pause there for a minute? I am not consumed by the circumstances. I am not consumed by all that these circumstances would stir up in me. Because of the great love of God, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God, you are a faithful, loving God. And friends, it is so important that we are reminded that God's character is not determined by the circumstances, our understanding of the circumstances, whether things are known or unknown about our lives, but rather that God is who God is yesterday, today, and forever. So we see that about God in this text, that David specifically points out who God is in the midst of all the unknown, questioning, and just deep longing of his soul. The second thing we learn is about life itself. And not to oversimplify it, but at its core, we learn that life is sometimes really hard. You know, it is a misconception that if I love God and if I'm faithful, my life will be easy, my life will just be all blessing, it will all just be exactly what I want it to be. That is not the promise of the gospel. Show me one example from scripture where that is the case. It's certainly not the case with Jesus himself, who experienced suffering innocently at the heart of his story, at the heart of the gospel message. So this context of the psalm is not to show us that the faithful always have it good and easy and never have a time of suffering or longing or questioning, which means that if you're going through a place where you don't understand things or there is confusion or there is longing or there is anxiety that you don't know God, it doesn't mean that. But it means that in the midst of all that you're feeling, in the midst of all that you're experiencing, we have the hope of setting our eyes on Jesus, that he is with us and that his character doesn't change in the midst of changing circumstances around us. In fact, I'm reminded of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, preached by Jesus himself, where in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 45, he says that the sun rises on the evil and the good, and that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, we live in a broken world, and that right now, in the state of brokenness, there are going to be difficult things. But the hope of the gospel message is that our God is a redeeming God, and that that redemption process that we celebrated so recently at Easter, where Jesus died for us and we are redeemed, that is not where the story ends. That the story continues, and that Christ is going to return, and that he is going to redeem this world. And that if you read the end of the story in the book of Revelation, there is going to be a world without pain, without suffering. It will be the way God intended it to be. That is the end of the story. And so in this life, now, we are going to deal with imperfections and the brokenness brought on by sin. That was never God's heart for his people. But he didn't leave us in that state. He came to redeem us, and there will be ultimate redemption at the end of the story. So we see that God, again, is good, and he is faithful, and he is working in this world. And then finally, we come to learning about how do we apply this to the way we live. So God is good, life is hard. What is our response? Well, as we see with David, the response is to bring it all to God, to bring what we feel, to bring our honesty, to bring our questions to God. Spurgeon talks about this chapter in Psalms, and he says it is really a psalm of bringing a question of anxiety, a cry of prayer, and a song of faith. And I love that. I love that it is the full story, that it really just represents that we bring everything to God, our anxiety, our worry, our concern, our longing. And then we cry out for him to respond. We ask and we petition, as we are told in scripture to do, but we also do it with a sense of peace and comfort and confidence, knowing that our God will have the final say in this world, knowing that our God is good, that he is unchanging. And so in light of that, we lift up a song of faith and a song of praise. Here is what I feel, but here is also what I know. And I hope that as we have looked at this psalm today, I hope that as we have applied it to our lives, that you are encouraged, that we serve a God who cares about how we feel, that welcomes us to bring our prayer and our cries to him, but who is good and who is faithful and who is going to have the final say in the end and who brings life and salvation to his people. That is the God that we serve. And I hope that that is what we remember the most in these longing, trying times. Gateway family, I love you, and I pray that you will be blessed by our amazing God this week. Well, good morning, Gateway family.
There is a song, I know it well, a melody that's never failed. On mountains high, on valleys low, my soul will rest, my confidence in you alone. Hope has a name, his name is Jesus, my Savior's cross. The light has come. His name is Jesus. My Savior's cross has set the sinner free. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Oh, Christ be praised. I have victory.
Sarah's message, scripture, his spirit all encourages us. Music encourages us. Worship encourages us. I encourage you to spend some time in worship each day, whether it's on KCMS or YouTube or Spotify or whatever it is. Let the songs, let the word penetrate deep into your heart to encourage him, to encourage you, and let your heart be at peace with God. Let your heart be at peace with everything. Maybe being able to sing, "It is well," and mean it from the very depths of your soul. It is well. We encourage you. If you need anything, please email us, text us. Let us know what's going on. We're here for you. We want to stay connected with you. Make sure you get those texts in for the military, for Armed Forces Day, and text groups or text give. We praise the Lord that we have this opportunity, that we have the technology to be able to do this, and we pray that you have a great, great week. God bless. Have a great week.
This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsville, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.